That sounds really dirty, but that's not, it's okay with me.
I got a comment from Doug who listened when he listened to the whole thing. He said, "Is William a prude?"
Why?
Because twice you said that to me.
Oh,
that sounds dirty.
Oh no!
And
just
he took that to mean you were offended.
Oh no!
By my implication, and wow. I said, no. He was trying to be funny, and he said, "I don't see it that way." I think he's a prude. I said, "No, he's not."
No. It's nice to have an arch nemesis, though.
He's a prude, and he shouldn't be on the podcast because it's stupid.
Hi.
Hello and welcome to the Blonde Swedes podcast number 3 for Sunday, December 11th, 2005. In this episode, the return of technology in rear view, and a review of Green Day's Bullet in a Bible and the Rush R30 music concert DVDs, and another Blonde Swedes music production update. All this and more will be yours when you listen to
the Blonde Swedes podcast.
I don't know if the coffee's good or bad for my throat. I can't tell.
Yeah, coffee never really does it for me, throat-wise.
That sounds really dirty.
You know, I'm drinking some water here, too.
You know what does? You know the thing that is good throat-wise.
Yes, I do. Yes. I don't have any.
I know. You should get some on hand.
Where's the POJ?
That's right. It's the wonderful.
That sounds really dirty.
I can't believe it. I actually went to the store and bought liquids today, you know.
That sounds really dirty.
And I didn't get what I needed.
That's right. It's because it's not sold as you know, a medicinal cure, and it should be.
Right. Oh, I feel terrible as an evangelizer of pineapple orange juice. I myself failed to apply my own wisdom to myself.
Yeah. Pineapple orange juice is where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get some myself, I think. I think I need to get some for each time we do this, just to...
Oh, you know what we need for the pineapple orange juice?
What?
We need a song.
Oh, the pineapple orange juice song.
That sounds really dirty.
And now, technology in rear view.
You know, but Apple is moving more and more. This is a segment in itself, really.
Well, that's fine. Let's go with it.
Yeah, Apple is moving more and more into a disposable technology. You know how we used to have like disposable razors and stuff like that. When the first disposable razor came out, people were like, "Oh my god, you buy a razor and you throw it away." I mean, you know, the iPods are. You get an iPod, and then a new generation comes out, and it's got different, you know, attachments and different and the. Instead of being angry, people are like, oh, okay, well, I'll just get rid of this and get a new one. You know, it's so interesting to me.
Well, it's just there's a limit to it. But, yeah, there's a willingness to get Apple's new thing, even if it means a significant reinvestment in accessories. Yeah.
Like, why would – like, you had a Mini, and now there's a new Mini, and now it plays video. But you know, you have your old Mini, but you have a Shuffle or a Nano. I mean – there are all these different brands and different kinds of iPods. And the people I know who are into them, like me and right. other people, are like, well, what came out? Fourth generation. Oh, okay. Well, I'll get rid of this then and get that.
Right. Right.
You know, it's so interesting. And it's not even like, oh, no, I spent $400 on this. What am I? It's like, well, I'll go sell this and I'll get that. And
well, the idea of selling it hadn't struck me at all until I don't know how I thought of looking. Hey, I wonder what these old ones go for. And I was shocked.
Yeah.
That a broken iPod was selling for $100, you know? I'm like,
yeah.
Wow.
Well, there is a company, and I don't have the website, but there is a company that is just doing iPod trade-ins. So you can trade in your old iPod and get money off a new one that they also sell.
Right. I think they were up to $100.
Yeah.
Yeah, you make yourself better money on eBay, but yeah, I saw that. And then they resell.
The whole disposable thing, you know? It's like a car. You got a used car and you trade it in for a new car, and you got a used iPod, you trade it in for a new iPod. It's
right. Like, but from a technological standpoint, I think Apple's, they're not really abusing that. They haven't, for example, the dock port on the bottom has remained absolutely standard for the past five versions of the iPod. So, except for the shuffle, everything has that. And that's what they're telling people. That I think they're telling their third-party vendors, you know, you can rely on the dock connector staying the way it
is. That explains a lot, because a lot of the new devices that come out all connect through the dock.
Yep.
It's time for the Blonde Swede's music review.
Now, did you want? I mean, one of the things that we talked about, you know, we can go over a little over, but did you want to talk anything about movies or music, like Rick Ocasek or anything that you feel you want to talk about?
Oh, sure. The new Green Day, Bullet in a Bible, the new Rush R30.
Yeah, now I saw that for the first time online. Is it good?
No.
Oh. Well, I'm glad I didn't ask for it then.
Let me give you an example. We got a little bit of time here. Before we, this is all good. I was in bed, sound asleep, and at 4 a.m. I was having this nightmare that my children were going to be sacrificed by a cult leader.
What?
And I was trying to prevent them from doing it.
Okay.
And the dream would just kept going in that mode. It would just keep recycling. It never, you know, came to any climax. It was just the anxiety of trying to prevent this horrible thing from happening to my children kept repeating and repeating. And I kept waking up, and I'd go back to sleep, and it would just start again. So I said, screw it, I'm getting up.
Right.
I went downstairs 4 in the morning. I put in Green Day's Bullet in a Bible, and it just rocked. The thing is extraordinary. It's like U2 in the '80s. The fervor of the crowd and the political consciousness of the band just coming together, along with a bunch of great music, to make one kick-ass rock show.
Wow, cool!
You know, just an emotional context. Put together with just the great music and a band that understood the balance between, you know, a political thing and also putting on a really great show. And it was definitely my number one pick for a video of a concert this year.
Excellent.
And then I dropped in R30.
Oh, no.
And R30 is Rush's 30th anniversary tour, and on video, they taped this in...
which was a good tour.
Right. They taped this in Frankfurt, overseas. And it's just very apparent, first of all, that they were tired.
Mm.
It was not... the show was very much... It went along, everything was fine, but it just... There was very little energy, and especially in contrast to Rush in Rio, which was just really so energized by the crowd. And Rush was, hauled along by the crowd into doing this
Rush
really
Rio was
good
a,
performance.
Rush
yes.
in Rio was great, great concert.
Yeah.
DVD.
And this one just kind of, it was more definitely the energy level was substantially reduced, but that wasn't the big problem. I've had problems with the sound quality of their things they've done ever since Vapor Trails. And I'm listening to this, and by the third song, I literally threw off my headphones, and I said, screw you guys, I'll just watch you.
Really? Just muddy again?
It is horrible.
What is up with that? That's really strange.
It's distorted. The cymbal crashes sounded like they were distorted, and the rest of the drums are like off in the distance. You can't hear them. The mix was atrocious. And it was like I shouted, don't you guys own a pair of headphones?
Well, yeah. And I've got to say, you know, this sort of relates to your complaint earlier about the $500 book that they're putting out.
Right. They don't get to play the art card when they can't even get something as basic as the sound on their DVD anywhere near.
Right.
Right.
That's
it's like
bad.
We're going to lay down crap for this, and then we're going to go over here and act like you should pay $500 for posters of us.
Yeah, that we didn't
okay,
create.
To everybody, every other band in the world, these are marketing materials.
Yeah. Right, right.
And you print 500,000 of them, and you sell them for $9.95 at Walmart.
Right.
And they've gone the exact other route. Let's make 500 of them. And sell them for $500.
Right. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and it's just the whole package of everything I've seen since the R30 tour was that make money while you can. And I'd hate to think that that's what they're thinking.
Yeah.
And I don't blame the guys. I blame their management. I think their management is, and the people around them are doing this. I think they're just trying to be who they are, but.
Well, that's too bad. I mean, it looks very attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's extremely high. When you hit Amazon.com, well, maybe for me, it just hits me over the head with that every page. It's like, hey, have you bought R30 yet? No, you know I haven't. You know?
Right.
So, I mean, it's being marketed like nuts. I see it everywhere, but that's too bad.
Yeah, I was, and then a little later, I put the headphones back on, and it sounded like they had improved. And then I started reading the reviews online, on the forums, you know, the Rush forums.
Right.
And they said, what's up, and somebody said, what's up with the Tom Sawyer intro keyboard, you know, that wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's triggered like 600 times during Roll the Bones.
Oh, really?
Yes. And
did someone just not change the trigger?
Somebody loaded the trigger early because that was later in the set.
Right.
And they're doing Roll the Bones, and you hear it, and it's fairly faint. And I didn't catch it myself, and I went back and listened to it, and yeah, it's there. And they're debating how it got triggered. Did Alex trigger it? Was Getty triggering it? And well, I'm pretty sure that's triggered by Neil because that's how they make it always, so it always sounds like it starts exactly when he hits the drums. That's because it starts exactly when he hits the drums.
Right.
One of his drums was triggering that.
Oh, my God.
And I think he knew it, and he was trying to drum around it.
Oh, man. But to include, I mean, oh, man.
Well, they included that, but then there's like 7 songs that they played in the set after that are not on the DVD.
Oh, really?
That they played right after that song. And the suspicion is, and the story that we got from that they got from Anthem apparently was that there were technical problems with those tracks. And it may be the technical problem is that the Tom Sawyer synth pad was getting triggered.
The rest of the show.
In 7 songs. And it may be that the audience never even heard it.
Yeah.
But
it picked up.
Nature of the recording truck or whatever, they got it on.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's too bad. Are the bonus, you know, there's a whole other disc full of, you know, videos and... Cool
well, for somebody who doesn't have internet access, yes, it'll be wonderful.
Okay, that's what I wanted. Yes. That answers it for me.
It's actually, I've seen excerpts of everything that's on it, and unfortunately the extended versions of them that are there don't really add much. For a Rush-crazed internet fan, they'll probably be disappointed.
Right. Well, yeah. I've told this story 3,000 times, but it's that Rush maxi single thing that I told you about, where mm-hmm. they started coming out and all these bands were putting two songs and then one you can't get, or two songs and a live song, and Rush came out and put three songs off an album. You're like, guys, you just completely, totally missed the point. So I can go get the whole album for $11, or I can get three exact songs off the album for $6. Huh.
Right. So you've automatically decided you're going to buy one or the other.
Right. Right.
And you are not going to buy both.
Right.
There's no reason to.
No.
And yet, why would you? U2 was the master of that.
Yeah. And why would you have... I bought the album and a CD maxi single comes out. Anyone who already has the album won't buy it.
Right. I think after Joshua Tree came out, I bought about three of those.
Yeah.
I mean, U2 definitely was
they were
doing that.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So that's too bad.
Mm-hmm.
We know strangely enough, on my Christmas list this year, my nephew is into Rush.
Wow.
Yeah. And, I've purchased him some things to give him this year, but he gave me a list of songs that he likes, and I was sort of expecting them to be of the, Grace Under Pressure kind of era, maybe. They're all old. Trees, Fly By Night. It's like, wow.
That's something else.
Yeah. I mean, nothing. Think the album that had, he likes stuff off of Permanent Waves. That's about it. Anything mm-hmm. later than that, he either hasn't experienced or just doesn't like that much.
Wow.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll get to go through the whole gamut, in a couple years from now, he will.
That's what I'm wondering.
Get into
too.
The 80s stuff and
it's
whatnot.
Exactly what I'm thinking. So, Fly By Night? Like, what? He's 15 years old. He likes Fly By Night? Wow.
That's like a teenager liking the Beatles.
Yeah, right. It's just really just strange. Very strange. Yeah. So
that's cool. You know what my son did this morning?
What?
He sat down here in my studio and he listened to Presto on headphones, the whole record.
The whole thing?
Yep. He just came down and he said, "Can I hear that Show Me, Don't Tell Me song?"
Wow.
I said, "Sure." So I sat him down. I put on iTunes, turned on the visualization, started the track, and I went about doing my stuff, playing around with the electronics for the thing for today. He listened to that whole record.
Huh. Well, that's... Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
How old is he now? He's 1990. What year is this?
He's 87.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, he's just eight.
Eight, yeah. Wow.
So it was a thrill for dad, yeah.
Wow, it's a whole new generation. It's too mm-hmm. bad they're going to retire here, so.
Well, yep, we'll see what Rush does from here on out. I hope they just do a good job on a studio record.
Yeah, and, we all hope that.
Right. Yeah, that's not exactly...
It's, please let Vapor Trails be just a fluke. Please. You made a mistake, I understand. It's like, you went out with someone else. I understand. Something just happened. It's okay. We're still here for you, but don't let it happen again.
Yeah, you're back now.
Right. It's all good. We've worked through it. Just don't let it happen again.
Yeah, it's hard. It's easy to get confused on the chat boards because there's so many people who just will not abide any non-positive discussion.
Right.
And so you just got to wonder, am I the only one? I can't possibly be.
No.
No, it's just everybody's shamed into...
You're not. It's just so...
Towing the line online.
Yeah. I listened to it again as I worked last... Every once in a while, I pop it in and I say, okay, I'm going to really see. And I just can't take it. It's just so, so bad on so many levels.
Yep.
All over the place, you know, especially sound quality and mix quality. It's just like this train wreck of sound.
Yeah. No, there's no distinction between anything.
It just makes it very unpleasant.
It's like a Michael Jackson syndrome. It's like they're surrounded by people who won't give them the facts.
Right. Right. And maybe that's the case. That could very well be the case. Or maybe, you know, maybe they're just sort of in a place where they say, okay, good. We did the DVD. We trust you guys. Just make it. Do you guys want to review it? No, we don't need to review it.
Right.
You know, maybe they're in that space of like, oh, we can't, we don't have to, I don't have time to listen to this, you know, or watch it all the way through. Just, it's cool.
Right, but that's the cruelest thing of all, if it's true, because one of the reasons people like Rush so much is there's an integrity factor.
Right.
That these guys work really hard to make sure everything is as they wanted it. And if they have tossed that aside, what's left?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I sort of wonder. I mean, I just, they're tired. Neil went through a lot. You know,
right.
I'm just wondering if they're just like, we're just going to ride this out. And, you know, it would be too bad, but I understand. I mean, they're old. They've done a lot of stuff.
Right.
You know, but maybe they're in that phase of, you know, we just want to play, and whatever you guys put out there is cool. We just want to go and play and make studio
And I
stuff
would accept
and,
that if they would do it twice a year instead of once every six.
Well, that's a good point.
If you're going to put out crap, do it frequently.
Right.
Don't sit in a studio for 18 freaking months and then toss a turd out on the street.
That's right.
The Blonde Swedes music update.
That was great.
Right.
That really worked, the whole talking about our stuff.
Uh-huh. I think so.
It's good.
Yeah, but I'm not sure you've heard this year's version of that song.
You mean the almost 2006 version, or is the 2005 version of Not Safe?
I haven't touched it since February.
Oh, I haven't. Maybe I haven't heard the 2005.
And I don't think
version.
You've heard it.
Maybe not.
I added more guitars and mixed it again.
Cool.
And
oh my god.
And but I'm not saying I think it's done.
No.
But when I had a guy whose ears I trust, a friend of mine at work.
Not
I
Doug.
I gave him that, and his response was, "Wow, this is coming out of the demo level."
Wow. I don't think we've ever hit that stage.
And I certainly took that as high praise.
Well, yeah.
I think it sounds like
a
decent indie release. I really do.
That's cool. So at that rate, whenever you start working on the next song, we'll probably be, 90, I think, and we'll have three songs.
Right. Obviously more, you know.
That's good.
Either a method of doing less production. Obviously, we will do productions like this again, I'm sure of it, but not everything would be this way. We just we would never get anything done.
Right.
But I'm really, really hoping we do get Mission.
Yes.
Done at some point. And that's going to be every bit as big a production deal as this has been.
Well, we should, and we don't have to do it now. I mean, we can, I'll see you in a few weeks, actually.
Mm-hmm.
We should talk about what we want to do, like with all these songs that we have kind of half started.
Right. Well, one of the things I'd like to take, let's review where we're at that point. And,
that's kind of turning into a yearly thing, actually.
Right. And we should draw a line and say, okay, we're done with this at this point.
Right.
And not try it in that original set list, just get honest with ourselves when we're not going to finish it.
Right.
And what I think we actually might do better at is original stuff after that.
You're probably right. decide maybe in that list what like Mission would be a great one to play with.
Right. Now that one we haven't even started.
No.
I mean someday I definitely want to do that song.
I personally think Fake Plastic Trees sounds just amazing. I think there's so much,
and it's going to be great.
Yeah.
I love the acoustic, cuz it's all these strange seventh and open chords, and
right.
they just sound haunting and lovely.
Yeah, I think that one's going to be every once in a while I listen to what I've completed on it and think, "Oh, this is, you know." I feel the same way about some of the Not Safe stuff I've heard. I listen to Fake Plastic Trees and I'm like, "Oh, this is nice."
Mm-hmm. So, no, that one's going to be sweet, and that doesn't have to be a big production.
Right.
It's going to be sparse. It's a spare production.
But yeah, we'll talk about it, cuz there are songs like, you know, the Alanis Morissette song. We haven't even started that. Are we going to do that? Probably not. You know?
Right. I mean,
there's a lot of those songs that like
you know. Right. It's just, and especially with the hassles I run into with, I want to release stuff.
Yes. Well, you want to be complete. Right. Absolutely.
And they're just never going to make that okay for us to do
right.
without worry.
Right.
There is no way to allow, legally, to allow distribution of cover tunes on the internet.
Right.
And that's just absurd. But until there is, you know, we're stuck.
Right.
But anything we write ourselves, obviously, we can Creative Commons license or whatever we want to do. And
yeah, that's true.
Throw it out there.
That's true.
Or not. We can keep the restrictive full copyright license, but still make the MP3s available. It's
right.
ours to do.
Right.
Nobody can tell us we can't.
Yeah, and yeah, you're right. I mean, and it brings you to, it sort of brings it to a whole other level. I mean, there's sort of like, well, we're doing cover stuff and we'll cut you a CD and give it to, you know, my mom. And, you know, there's sort of that level. And there's a level of now you can put music wherever you want, but we can't.
Well, I just feel you know? I'm finally old enough to make music.
Well, sure. And, you know, I feel that way too. Cause it's like, oh, look, everyone's downloading do you have any stuff you can throw up on iTunes or over here to download? Not legally. You know, I can give you one, but I really can't put it up there. You know, it's like, that's a drag.
Yeah, we have to go to individual songwriters and ask.
Yeah, and that's...
And get a special deal with them, because there's no way to license it through compulsory licensing.
Right. And I've even had to tell people, like, okay, here's a demo, or here's what we're working on, but don't post this anywhere, because we can't. You know? Like, just don't. Well, can I play it in the coffee shop? I'm not sure. You know, I'll have to
well,
check.
Well, obviously,
you know?
No. Like, yeah, actually, those things are very, 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 very unlikely to get anybody into trouble. It's when the actual person who made it is distributing it and soliciting distribution of it.
Right.
If but you give a friend a DVD, a CD of Flannel covers, and they put it all on the internet, we're a lot less liable.
Right. but even there, I mean, there's that. But it's all tricky. I mean, how much easier would it be to be like, can I play this in the coffee shop? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can I put this online? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever.
Right.
Listening to the Blonde Swedes. We hope you'll do it again next week. Thank you very much.
The Blonde Swedes podcast is a production of Shorn Media in collaboration with Swedes and Things West Coast. Comments? Suggestions?
I like virtual panties.
Send email to podcast@blondeswedes.com.